Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
I'm Joe.
Oh my, it's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, I didn't realize Dave could do the gorilla look.
I know. I didn't hear any music, did you?
What?
Music?
No.
I didn't hear our intro music.
Yes.
No.
What?
I do have it turned up. I can hear me.
Yes.
It's okay. Anyway.
I wonder what that freaking weird...
That little knob? It's called volume, yes.
Volume, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, actually, because no, I can't. I actually don't hear anything. Now
there
I hear
you
it.
Hear.
We have a special guest today.
We do. Uh-oh.
Yes. His name is Christopher Kolbetzer. He's my... boyfriend's son.
There you go.
He's 14.
Great voice.
And yeah, and he doesn't like to talk. But yeah, he's here sitting in because it's take your boyfriend's son to work day.
That doesn't work for me. Ow!
You can borrow him if you'd like.
For you, it's just obscure welding.
It's what?
Well, for you, it's just obscure relative.
Obscure relative.
Obscure relative day. See, I told you it was good. He told me that I'm. What did you call me the other day?
The occasionally confused girlfriend.
Yes.
Occasionally confused girlfriend. Oh.
Yeah, they love me. Those kids.
Yes, this could be very interesting.
Oh, we're changing things around a bit. All right, I can talk in both microphones at the same time. No, I can talk in this microphone at the same time. All right.
That way you're in stereo by mono.
Mono, mono? Mono, a mono? Okay. Anyway.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Having her twice as much in one show?
Hey. Oh. Okay, I'm in the studio with three men right now. I'm a little bit outnumbered. Thank God John left.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're going to
then
do...
Then be three men and
stick your
someone
face
else.
In this microphone. All right, so what we're going to do today...
three men and a ding.
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 Can you guess what the theme is for today?
I'm confused.
You got it. It's a mashup.
Right.
It's a mashup, because someone went to bed before they got the second script written last night. So we are going to talk about all the best parts of things that we didn't get to the last times.
All over the shows over the past few months.
Yeah,
that
all
we,
the pages that excellent. We throw away because we haven't had time because someone's improvising too much.
I stand guilty, corrected, and all those other things above.
So our curious saying.
Son of a gun.
Yes, because I have the son of my boyfriend here.
Oh, from straightdope.com.
What?
Straightdope.com.
Oh, yes, that's right. So, Chris, do you know what son of a gun, do you know word origin for son of a gun? Any
yes.
idea? You do?
I think it maybe Civil War. Some guy got shot, and the bullet went from him in his... area,
yeah.
To a woman, and the sperm attached to the bullet end was transferred to the woman. Of course, that's what she said. That's what she said happened.
That's our show for today. I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe, and we're down the hill on this one.
Okay, so son of a gun lends itself to many usages. That was very good. That's very good. That was not the correct answer, however. Anyway, it lends itself to many uses, among them surprise, affection, and dislike, to name a few. While the Oxford English Dictionary list usages of the phrase as far back as 1708, one of the best early examples was from British Admiral, oh my gosh, he's right, William Henry Smythe's The Sailor's World Book, dated 1865. Smythe offers this definition, an epithet conveying contempt in a slight degree, and originally applied to boys born afloat. When women were permitted to accompany their husbands to sea, one admiral declared he literally was thus cradled under the breast of a gun carriage.
Uh-huh.
He is close.
Yeah. Now, maybe. But it sounds awfully sanitized to me. You know, see, sailors of yore were not known for their slighting epithet of contempt. In this version, the story goes that since many of the crews of sailing vessels of the 18th and 19th centuries were pressed, that is, Shanghai, non-voluntary, etc., at port, they were not permitted to leave the ship. Instead, prostitutes were brought aboard, and coupling often took place between the gun emplacements, as they offered at least a modicum of privacy. Since contraceptives were not available, it possibly may that many, many children were conceived to mix the weaponry. To take it one step further, pregnancy was no reason for a prostitute to cease earning income, and there were reportedly incidents of working girls giving birth between the guns. But again, I must stress, mine own ears have heard these tidbits secondhand. Draw what conclusions you will.
So Chris was very close.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guns went off and there were babies. Yeah.
I get my information from Mythbusters, so I'm not that.
Okay.
I'm sure it's
okay.
And we are not going to mention what school system.
No, we're not. No, but it rhymes with Mestwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, want to tell us about school? Where do you go to school, Christopher?
I thought we weren't going to say that.
Just go with the flow.
Yes, he goes to school in Manawa. Oh. I finally learned how to pronounce it because I went to the McDonald's and I said, can you tell me how to find the Walmart? I've never been in Manawa before. And they responded, apparently not, because it's pronounced Mantaway.
Oh, no. It's the old Arkansas thing again.
Yep.
Oh.
So Chris goes to school at?
Crestwood
Middle School. Yay.
Cool.
It'll never be the same. We have story time.
All right.
And this is from jokesaboutchildren.com.
Yes.
We might have done this before, but it's worth repeating.
I like it.
One summer evening during a violent thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small boy into bed.
She was about to turn off the light when he asked with a tremor in his voice, Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight?
The mother smiled and gave him a reassuring hug. I can't, dear, she said. I have to sleep with Daddy.
A long silence was broken at last by the shaking little voice. The big sissy.
Oh, now I'm going to baffle you a little.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, this is circled, but it's crossed out. So you get to read it anyway.
Okay.
This is about, we did a show on, I don't remember what, but it was Barbershop Music Appreciation Day.
There you go.
Yes. So this gives a little history.
Edna Mae Anderson of Tulsa, Oklahoma, invited some women to her home to sing on July 13, 1945. Their husbands were the members of the Society of the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America.
Go ahead, pronounce that.
Hence noted SPEBCSQSA
Spibisquassa
ABCEFG HIJKLMNOP.
You might give it a shot. How do you pronounce that, Chris?
Spibisquassa.
Yes.
Spibisquassa.
Proud members of Spibisquassa.
Somewhere in Africa. The ladies wanted to participate in the singing fun and enjoyment. On that evening, the Sweet Adeline was born. The group later became Sweet Adelines International, which now boasts hundreds of groups and thousands of members. Today is a great day to listen to barbershop music. Better still, join a barbershop quartet, or, if you're so inclined, the Sweet Adelines.
No, thank you.
Sweet Adeline.
I thought we weren't allowed to sing on this show.
This is a mashup day.
Yes, it is. I have some odd toy labels.
Toy labels?
Yeah, this is from rinkworks.com. And Chris is going to help me with this one, so give him your page. Yeah. And these are actual toy labels on toys.
Okay, eating rocks may lead to broken teeth.
On a novelty rock garden set called Popcorn Rock.
I was going to read that.
Oh, sorry. This one is, warning, may contain small parts.
On a frisbee.
Mm-hmm. Next.
Not suitable for children aged 36 months or less.
On a birthday card for a one-year-old.
That makes sense to me.
I love this one. Oh, do not use as earplugs.
Only package for silly putty.
I gave you silly putty for Easter. Did you put it in your ears?
No.
Okay, good.
But it works.
Wearing of this garment does not enable you to fly.
On a child-sized Superman costume. Choking hazard. This toy is a small ball.
On the label for a cheap rubber ball toy.
Yes.
Not for all human consumption.
On a package of dice. Let that be a lesson to you, Chris. Do never eat a package of dice.
It's not for all human consumption, no. But for some it's okay.
Do not put in mouth.
On a box of bottle rocket.
Unless you want to shoot your mouth off.
Yeah.
Don't go shooting your mouth off in my presence. Okay. And we have something from board.com.
We might just zoom out of here on that one.
Okay. A 50-piece puzzle. Some assembly required.
On a beach ball. Caution. This is not a life-saving device.
Stickers to put on the seat of a potty training toilet.
This is not a toy.
Stickers require adult supervision.
And from dumbwarnings.com, warning, this bag is not a toy. On a McDonald's Power Rangers toy. Oh, this one I like.
This broom does not actually fly on a Harry Potter toy broom.
What?
Yeah, I tried that once.
Did you try it once? Did you get very far? Warning, this program should not be used in flight training. Death or serious injury could result. On a Microsoft Flight Simulator.
2000.
And no, the last one?
No, game pieces do not actually talk on a Guess Who game.
Do you know what's sad? Is that all of these warnings had to be put on because somebody or something actually tried to do it or had tried to...
Yes, kept a lawyer busy.
Yeah, and that's what's sad about those, as funny as they are.
Yeah.
I like it.
This is from our story about children as well. We have Just Jokes for jokesaboutchildren.com.
Alrighty.
Uh-huh. You're going to do the questions. I'm going to do the answers.
Okay. We're switching colors. What did the wise man once say?
Man who gets last laugh, not get joke.
Yeah. Or your name is Thetis Bunker. Why do giraffes have long necks?
So they don't smell their stinky feet.
Remember, these are jokes.
I'm trying to do
kids.
My kid voice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What is a frog's favorite drink?
Coca-Cola. I'm going to teach these to Sarah, your younger sister, so she can bother you with them.
Why did the cat sit on the computer?
To keep an eye on the mouse.
What do you feed an invisible cat?
Oh, I know. Evaporated milk.
I'm melting. What is black and white and green and black and white?
Two zebras fighting over a pickle. Dun-dun-dun.
A man walks into the doctor's office and says, Doctor, I got a strawberry growing out of my head.
And the doctor replied, I'll give you some cream for that.
Oh.
Da-da-da-da.
What did the policeman say to his tummy?
You're under a vest.
Why do geese make lousy drivers?
All they do is honk. You know, we have goslings at our apartment complex.
Yes.
We have lots of geese, which means we have geese poo. But we also now have goslings, little baby geeses everywhere.
Oh, joy.
Hundreds of them. And my, you know, Izzy the dog. Izzy the wiener dog.
Just loves to chase them.
Thought that they looked like playthings. And took out after one. And mama geese are not happy.
No.
When people threaten their goslings.
No.
Yeah. Izzy will not try to play with the goslings anymore.
Oh, a lesson learned.
Yes.
Sorry, but did you say geese's?
Geese's. Yes. That's the past imperfect plural of geese.
Geese's. Gooses.
Gooses. Goss. Actually, they're ganders. Isn't a female goose called a gander?
She is.
Yes.
And then when you have a bunch of them together, it's called a gaggle.
Group of geese.
Gaggle of
geese.
Oh. A group?
I called him a litter the other day.
Technically, it's gaggle.
A gaggle. We should do a whole show on that.
Gaggle of geese?
No, no. What groups of animals are called?
Ah, there you go. You
know, like a burrow of foxes and a gaggle of geese and a whatever.
A den of lions?
Yes.
Yes.
We'll do that. We'll write that down.
But I have a more important question.
What?
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Oh, well, that's easy.
What?
To prove he wasn't chicken.
Why did the bubblegum cross the road?
Because it was stuck to the chicken foot. Dump. This is from crack.com.
Yes.
Yeah. These are bad ideas for toys from the 80s.
Now, wait a minute.
What?
You take offense to the first one.
Why?
Duke of Hazzard's electric slot racing set?
Yeah, before laser pointers were available to the consumer market, slot car racing is what we used to do to blow a cat's entire mind. They were very delicate True. Toys. A bit too much speed and your car would flip off even the gentlest of curves. To punish you, its tiny needle was specially designed to pull up every fiber of your carpet and wind it through its wheels. Then, when you tried to play with it again, it would just moan in one place and smell like a burning battery until your cat summoned enough courage to punch it.
This is all true. The Dukes of Hazzard electric slot racing set added something new.
Da-da-da.
The bridge stunt jump.
Ooh.
It's exactly what it sounds like. But like all slot cars, the Duke boys were attached to the road by a record needle in the hope that physics were ignoring them. Unfortunately, there is nothing physics loves more than a Dodge Charger filled with moonshine. The General Lee careered off every corner. The guardrails did nothing. They were only included in the box to smuggle toxic plastic out of China. And now with all the fundamental laws of the universe working against them, the Duke boys were supposed to jump the General Lee off a ramp and hope it landed wheels down exactly in a tiny metal groove.
And did it?
Ever.
No.
Never. This thing was less a toy and more a psychological test to see how long a child could withstand disappointment.
That's sad.
But you know, it was true, is what you said about driving the cats nuts. It was so fun to watch him try to catch that stupid cart, and they're like, you see those little paws, and the car's running by.
Oh, my goodness.
Very good times.
Yeah. Oh, Sky Commanders. I don't remember Sky Commanders.
I don't remember Sky Commanders. However, they were defenders of the high frontier.
Mm.
Now, what that means is that someone had a whole bunch of action figures, a whole bunch of string, and no good ideas. They created Sky Commanders action figures that traveled exclusively by zipline. In order to play with them, you had to clamp strings around your room, from your doorknob to your bed, and from every clampable surface to your vector command action playset. Now, I'm not one for safety, but letting a kid command the skies near a tapered plastic tower in a room full of trip wires can only lead to one thing. The first true story ever told to an emergency proctologist.
Sounds like training for being a TSA agent.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry. Mr. T's Water War. Do a Mr. T impression?
Yes.
Yes? And your Mr. T impression? Here, read this. Yeah. Just the beginning of it.
As Mr. T.
Let me see here. Where are we?
We're down there.
Ah. Mr. T don't do anything simple, sucker.
That was very good. In order to play with Water War, you hooked his head up to a garden hose. Then you soaked Mr. T brand throwing sponges in water, and you waited. When a friend or enemy walked in front of you, you threw the sponge at Mr. T's head. If you hit him, it sometimes sent the signal for Mr. T to squirt water. It was the only toy daring enough to add a 30-step bureaucratic procedure to a water fight. Looking back, Mr. T's Water War might as well have shot cockroach milk and acid, because there was no chance of hitting you. And if it did, Mr. T would watch you melt in cockroach milk. For over 20 years, this was the worst celebrity water toy on the market, because there were so many celebrity water toys.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Help me, Mr. Wizard, help me.
Yes.
Thrustle, 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 throne. Time for this one to go home.
And the next one, Preemie Cabbage Patch Dolls. Following the phenomenal success of Cabbage Patch Kids, Coleco, I guess that's Coleco,
Coleco.
Coleco chose to expand the doll line in a new direction, wisely targeting the whimsical joys of life-threatening premature birth. The Cabbage Patch Preemie dolls featured smaller bodies than their full-term counterparts, tiny diapers, and baldish heads that smelled like they'd been rolled around in baby powder for 7 hours. So what's the problem?
You ask. You know what's not all that cuddly?
What?
A 1.5-pound infant fighting for its fragile life in a coffin-shaped incubator with more tubes and machines attached to it than Weapon X. And don't forget the bandages that keep the light out of its undeveloped eyes. Or the light-heating beds it has to lay in because it can't maintain its body heat. Oh. Tossing some weeping parents and a couple of nurses probing and prodding its frail little body, and you got the most sought-after toy of the season. Coleco didn't even remotely try to emulate actual premature babies, which was probably for the best.
That is so wrong.
In many ways.
So wrong. Oh, my. Anyway, and you know, along that lines, we have a story about the Passenger Pigeon Memorial Hut. I don't remember what show this was from. Oh, this was from Weird Ohio.
Oh, yes.
Yes. In Cincinnati, Ohio. There is a roadside wonder called the Passenger Pigeon Memorial Hut.
Now, it's been over 90 years since anyone has seen a live passenger pigeon. But you can still see the place where the last one died. Over 200 years ago, passenger pigeons numbered in the billions. They are perhaps the most populous bird ever to inhabit the Earth. One nesting area in Wisconsin alone reportedly uncovered 850 square miles with an estimated 136 million birds. Unfortunately for passenger pigeons, they lived in a part of America where Americans also wanted to live.
The forest where they would eat and roost were cut down. Farm crops became a substitute food supply, which made passenger pigeons a locust-like threat to farmers. Professional exterminators were hired to slaughter the birds. That is so sad.
It is.
Since passenger pigeons only lived in huge flocks, they were easy to kill in staggering numbers. This is a humor show, right?
Yeah.
In 1878, for example, a flock of passenger pigeons in Petoskey, Michigan, were shot and clubbed to death at a rate of 50,000 birds a day every day for nearly 5 months. Ow.
There's humor here, right?
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere.
The slaughterhouse efficiency couldn't last, and it didn't. By the 1900s, the billions of wild passenger pigeons had been reduced to one last survivor.
Yeah.
And it was shotgunned by a 14-year-old Ohio farm boy who saw it eating his corn.
That only left a handful of passenger pigeons in zoos. The last one to go was Martha, named for Martha Washington, who fell off the perch and died in 1914 at the advanced age of 29. Martha spent her last years in the Cincinnati Zoo in a pagoda's aviary that has been restored. It's an official National Historic Landmark, currently wedged between Gorilla World, Cat House, and the World of Insect. Perched on top of the rock of the hut is a life-size bronze likeness of Martha. Inside are three stuffed passenger pigeons and a number and form of signs guaranteed to make you feel bad. Also, here's the stuffed carcasses of the last Carolina parakeet, Incas, who died in the same aviary in 1918, 4 years after Martha. That makes this place a uniquely bad spot in the history of bird extermination.
Two things are missing from the hut.
Oh?
One is an X on the floor to mark the spot where Martha fell.
Ah.
If that seems in poor taste, remember that the state capitol in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, has a helpful X on the floor where Governor Huey Long was assassinated. The other thing missing from the hut is Martha.
Oh.
Because when she died, her body was immediately frozen in a 300-pound cake of ice and shipped to the Smithsonian Institute in Washington. Martha became the celebrity exhibit in its Birds of the World Hall. Until recently, that is. She's now been placed, as museum people say, in a non-public area.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because Martha needs a good cleaning, or perhaps current political ideology would rather not remind us of the passenger pigeon.
I'll tell you, down in the Chicago Museum of History, in the back end, they have over 400,000 birds that are reserved or preserved after they had died.
Really?
And we had a chance to go behind her because it is non-public, but we knew the professor who runs the National. And you go in there, they just open these drawers after drawers after drawers of birds after birds,
birds
after birds. Birds and their skeletons. Yeah, the birds are
preserved. They waiting for someone to identify them?
No, they're used in case they're ever found again as a reference to this type of bird.
I was going to say, Joe, if they're dead, they're not going to be found again.
Well, unfortunately, and or fortunately, some have returned in, like, in South America and places, so they now have a reference to what the bird should have looked like, and therefore can confirm that it used to be real, not a new one.
This is an educational show.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We can take death and make it good.
We have a couple ruminations, and then we're going to play a game.
Uh-oh.
Yes. First one. Okay. They say television is the can... Oh, this is from ruminate.com, by the way.
Ah.
Yes. Ruminations. They say television is the campfire of the 21st century. But it sure can't toast a marshmallow worth a darn.
Well, unless you're sticking to the TV.
Yeah, unless you the campfire TV. Yeah.
Now, Anthony Meyer says, those guys at Disneyland who have to wear character costumes ought to form a union. I'm not really all that concerned about their working conditions. I just think that the picket lines would be a hoot.
Okay, Joe.
Ah.
We tried to do this recently, and it didn't work, so we're going to try it again. Try again.
Oh.
We don't have an Irish blessing, so we're going to do our own Irish blessings. You and I used to be in an improv troupe.
Yeah.
Where we had loads of fun.
We did.
So this is from deepfun.com. How's that for a segue?
Deep fun.
Yes, this is the out blessing game.
Wait a minute, you're supposed to say that. Deep fun.
Deep fun.
There you go.
The out blessing game is trying to out bless people, which is much more fun than trying to out guess them. For this reason, I give you the out blessing game. First of all, you get in pairs, but we only have three people, so we're just going to do ourselves.
Dun, dun.
Yes. You take turns out blessing each other. You continue until you both feel truly blessed and had enough of this loving silliness. So a round of out blessing might go like this. You say,
may all your accidents be happy.
Huh?
See, now you know what I felt like the last time. May all your accidents be happy.
And may you never come to a screeching halt.
May your turn. Skid marks of your life always end up in pleasure.
And may I have no clue. This game stinks. Oh, goodness.
And that's the way I felt the last time. I'm
let's try again. May you always have as much money as you know what to do with.
And may the money never burn a hole in your pocket.
And if it does, may you have a seamstress nearby.
And if your seamstress is smart, she'll only charge you half as much.
And when worse comes to worse, be glad you haven't lost your shirt.
Bada bing.
Bada bing.
I like it.
Yeah, that is, thank God, all we have for today on Cat.
I'm Joe.
And I am Christopher Coleman.
And together we're
Cat Soup.
And me.
And Cat Soup. And Chris.
And Chris.
Yes, the best of internet humor on the radio. Have a great week. Bye.
Have a great week, folks.
Dinner from a garbage can.